This morning, we're going to kind of move into a new sermon series in Mark's gospel. We were in Ephesians for a long time, and now we're kind of going to keep moving. But as I said in January, the theme throughout this entire year is going to be discipleship in some way, and specifically about being disciples who make disciples, and we're going to come at it in different directions. And of course, one of the things that Jesus actually gives to his disciples, if you're in Mark's gospel, chapter 4, at the very beginning, he gives them a parable to talk about when people are sharing the word of God, when people are sharing the good news, what's going to happen? What are the responses going to be? What does that even look like? Because Jesus is saying, I'm preparing you to do this when I leave. And then the disciples prepared the other guys and girls to do it when they left. And so it goes on, generation after generation after generation, we are preparing the next one through sowing these seeds. So this is going to be going through May. This morning, we're only looking at verse 1 through 13. It is a parable. We're going to talk about what that even means and what that is. And it's a parable of the sower, but really, as some commentators have said, it's more of a parable of soils, because the focus really is on the soil, not the seed being sown. The seed is the same. It's the soils that are different. And so this morning, we're not going to focus on every single soil. You're going to hear the story. And then Jesus actually, unlike most of the other parables, Jesus actually explains this to the disciples to help them understand what he's talking about, because if they don't get this one, he says, you're not going to get any of them, because there's something important, some truth that he's conveying here that's going to be important for them throughout the rest of Jesus's ministry and then throughout all of their ministry as well. So we're just going to look at the first 13 verses, contains the story. Jesus makes a comment about how we hear things, and then the next number of Sundays, we're going to look at each bit of soil. What does he mean by when he describes this kind of soil, this kind of soil? And what did that mean for the hearer in Jesus's day? What does that mean for us? This story is not something that, this isn't how we teach nowadays. It was meant for this group of people. They would have understood it and how it was shared. And so we've got to do a little bit more digging to figure out, well, what is Jesus trying to tell us as 21st century Christians? So first we got to understand a parable. A parable that, you know, we don't really necessarily speak in is a story. It's not an allegory that this represents this. It's more like illustrations. Like I use the illustration of a soccer team, soccer field, and playing that game to describe discipleship. That was an illustration. It wasn't an allegory that we're replacing this and this. Parable, same kind of thing. But the way a parable worked, it was kind of like how we tell jokes. The point of a joke is for someone to tell it and you to laugh. That's the point. Some of us are better than others at telling those jokes and getting people to laugh. The more I have to explain the joke, the less funnier it is. And there's even times where, and this is kind of like the parable, where someone tells you a joke and you're with a group of people and you're like laughing and it's funny, or somebody did something and they retell the story, you're laughing and it's funny, and then you go to a different group of people and you try and tell that same story and nobody laughs. And then you say, well, you had to be there. You just had to be there. That's kind of like what's going on with a parable. We lose something in the explanation of it, but we need to do that because this isn't how we learn. This isn't how we teach today. But you lose something in having to explain it, whereas Jesus's hearers would have picked it up right away. So like I said, it's more like how we tell jokes. So I have a joke for you. A horse walks into a bar. The bartender says, hey. And the horse says, sure. So hopefully, I mean, it's only three lines. If I got to explain that, it's not good. But the more that I explain that, the less funny it becomes. So here's, it's kind of like jokes are meant to be read or looked at, and you're just supposed to laugh. So do you remember Far Side comics? So here's this kid, Midvale School for the Gifted. And boy, is he really pushing hard on that door. So that's the joke. The more I have to explain what's going on here, the less funny it becomes. So here's another one. Now you probably can't, I don't know if you can read the writing up there. I'll read it for you. So it's picture, of course, you see the caveman there. He's pointing at something. And he says to the group that's gathered there in this training, now this end is called the Thagomizer, after the late Thag Simons. Okay, so they named Thag Simons must have been killed by that part of the dinosaur, and so they named it after him. This is the Thagomizer, because he was obliterated with that end of the dinosaur. And so they call that end of the dinosaur, training all these other cavemen, this is the Thagomizer after the late Thag Simons. So the more you got to explain the joke, the worse it becomes. It's not funny. It loses everything. You had to be there. Yeah, you had to be in that training. Those guys got it. Parables work kind of the same way. So we have a little bit more work to do in understanding what Jesus is trying to convey in this parable. Now, Jesus is using an image that we're familiar with, especially around here. There's farms all over the place. We grew up around farmland. Lots of you have gardens. So you get what sowing seed is, and you get the fact that this seed grew and this seed didn't. Why? There's lots of maybe reasons why. So that's the story Jesus is going to tell in this parable. And he's telling it to convey some kind of truth. Just like the joke is supposed to elicit laughter from you, the parable is to elicit some kind of response from the people hearing it. Now, Jesus told lots of parables. We have some in our Gospels, but as verse 1 of Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, is going to tell us, verse 1 and 2, that he was doing a lot of teaching and using a lot of parables to teach. And every time he's doing this, it's kind of like the joke. He's trying to say something without being direct to get that person not just to hear, but to respond in some way. And so we're going to read this parable. We're going to hear what Jesus uses, the imagery that he's using. And I'm going to talk about this part of the parable first, the point of it, and of course, if you've ever read this, or as you'll hear when I read it, Jesus does make an interesting comment about it in verse 11 and 12 when he brings the disciples aside and does a little bit more in-depth teaching for them. He makes a comment about that, which is, I think, important for us to remember and recognize, because we do a lot of listening. We do a lot of hearing. Not just on a Sunday morning. Maybe you are a part of a Bible study. Maybe you participate in a life group. Maybe you come to the connection group and you're hearing a lot of God's word. Maybe you listen to a podcast. Maybe you listen to other messages. We do a lot of hearing and listening. But are we responding to that? Because that's what Jesus is interested in. And that's why he tells this story, because that's what discipleship really is. A response to, and then we, in turn, tell that story to others. And they watch us, and they listen to the things we say, and all of it is telling us, is telling the watching world this story. So Jesus specifically is going to use this parable. It's going to become very important as the disciples do their ministry. It's important for us to remember as we do ministry as well. So what you didn't know, you're coming at this cold, chapter 4, you didn't read chapter 1 through 3 probably before you got here today. I just want to give you a little bit of a background of what's going on before we get to chapter 4. Chapter 1 of Mark's Gospel, of course, we got the John the Baptist prepares the way, the baptism of Jesus. Jesus announces the good news, and then we start getting into some public ministry stuff. So Jesus calls his first disciples. That begins in chapter 1 of verse 16. Then Jesus drives out an impure spirit. Then Jesus starts healing a bunch of people, verse 29 of chapter 1. Then Jesus goes off by himself to a solitary place and starts praying. Jesus heals a man of leprosy. Jesus forgives and heals a man that's paralyzed. So he's doing all kinds of miracles. He's doing ministry all over the place. Jesus calls Levi. He calls another disciple and he eats with sinners and he's doing some talking there. Then we get into a little bit more of some teaching. So people are watching Jesus do all this. Now he's going to be teaching. Chapter 2, verse 18, Jesus questioned about fasting. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. That's verse 23. Sabbath was very important. Jesus does some teaching about the Sabbath. He heals somebody else in chapter 3 on the Sabbath. And as a result of all this stuff that's going on, we find out in chapter 3, verse 7, all these crowds begin to follow Jesus. And then we find out in verse 13 that Jesus appoints the 12. There's a specific group of people now that have been watching, hearing Jesus, that are forming into this group we now call the disciples. And then we have in verse 20 of chapter 3, some information about Jesus's family, like his biological family, the people that would have grown up with Jesus. And then we have some information about the teachers of the law. It's a bunch of different groups of people, all responding in different ways to the seed that's being cast. Now, chapter 4, Jesus specifically gives us this parable to teach the disciples about what is going on and what ought to be happening as a result of the seed that's being sown. So let's hear the story. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. Obviously, we just heard he's been doing a lot of teaching. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables, and in his teaching said, here's one of them. So he taught many things, many parables, but here's one. Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Now he's using illustration language that was so familiar to all these people. They were all farmers of some kind doing this all themselves. Everybody would have known, yep, you get your sack, you got the seed in it, you're walking along the path and you're tossing it out there. And some of that seed fell along the path and the birds came and they ate it up. And some fell in the rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they were withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and it choked the plants, so they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on the good soil. It came up, grew, and produce a crop, some multiplying 30, some 60, some 100 times. Then Jesus said, whoever has ears, let them hear. So he's not explaining this whole thing to the whole crowd. And he doesn't do it with a lot of the parables. But verse 10 says, when he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. So that, now he's quoting from an Old Testament passage in Isaiah, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Now, we're going to end it at verse 13. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? Because right after verse 20 of chapter 4, there's the lampstand, there's the parable of the growing seed, there's the parable of the mustard seed, and if you just keep reading through the Gospels, you're going to get more parables. So Jesus says, it's pretty important that you understand this. Because you're going to experience and you're going to see what's going to happen as I keep on teaching and preaching and do the work of ministry that is advancing the kingdom of God. So what's important to remember about the parable is the telling of it is meant to have the hearer respond in some way. If I tell you a joke, I want you to laugh. I want you to respond. So when Jesus tells the parable, he wants people to respond. It's meant to do that, and usually, now you heard the different soils. Now, if you've grown up in church and you've heard these stories and then you've heard explanations about the soil, it's going to be a little bit more familiar to you. If you've never heard this story, then in the next couple of weeks, we're actually going to focus on each of the soils that Jesus describes there and try and bring that into 21st century language. Because the point of what Jesus is trying to do, and I think the point of what Mark wants the reader to do, is also respond to what Jesus has to say. Now, this is like baseline response. So I just preached a whole message series out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 16. And my prayer was the same as Jesus's. I wanted you to respond in some way to all this seed I was casting out there. It's meant, and the parables oftentimes are meant to give the hearer a gut check. Where are they at? And if you read through some of the parables, that's really what is going on there. Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. That's how he started his public ministry. He's getting and wanting people to respond to him and the things that he's doing and the things that he's saying. And if you want to read about the different responses people have, just start at chapter 1, verse 16, and you're going to see them. You're going to see all the different soils represented in those verses. And you're going to see all the different soils represented throughout the rest of Mark's gospel and all the gospels. And it doesn't take much for us to think about all the different soils represented now, today, even sitting in this room. The point of preaching is really what the parables were meant to do, and that is for us to respond in some way to God's word. Because as we've learned throughout January and February, when we use the word discipleship, it's not just something that happens to us. Like I just come and sit down and, okay, discipleship just, God zaps me and now I'm a better disciple because I was sitting here and God just zapped me. We know that it's active. You have to respond in some way. And what the parables were seeking to do was not just kind of cause somebody to say, huh, yeah, that makes sense. That seems right, Jesus. He was hoping these parables would actually change the way they lived their life. It was going way deeper than just intellectually saying, yep, I get it. If I tell you a joke and you're like, yeah, that's good, I get it, Ted. No, I want you to laugh. The point of the joke is to laugh, not to say, yeah, I get it. So I'm thinking of a Seinfeld episode where, you know, Jerry's a comedian and he's, this girl that he's with just doesn't laugh. She'll just say, oh yeah, that's funny. And this, well, I won't go deeper in that episode because that's not a good one that we should be watching. But the point of the joke is for you to laugh, not just say, yep, that's a good joke. Yeah, that's real funny. The point of what God's word is trying to do in our lives is not to say, yep, that makes sense. Great. The point is to have us respond to it in some way. I can read about the fact that Jesus has said, hey, you guys should love your enemies and pray for them. And then one day you're walking your dog in Philadelphia and somebody stabs you. Are you going to love that enemy? Are you going to pray for that enemy? See, it's not just, at some point, we're going to find out what that seed, that soil looks like, that the seed is falling on, because discipleship actually changes us. We are different as a result of it. It's not just something that happens to us. It's something that we are involved in because it's actually changing the way I think about the world, about life, my behaviors, my attitude, the desires I have, the way I prioritize things in my life. It just changes everything. That's why Jesus gives us some examples of, well, what does that even look like? Well, when the seed falls on the good soil, we bear fruit 30, 60, 100 times. What does it mean to bear fruit? We're going to talk about that. Not this morning. That's going to be one of the soils we focus on because there's four types of soils and we see four different responses. Now, within those four different responses, we do see a difference in the amount that is produced, the amount of fruit that is being borne out. And the point is not to be discouraged by, well, that person only produced 30 times, but this person produced 100 times. What's being pointed out is the fruit is being born, meaning you are producing it. Jesus is saying, this is what ought to be happening in your lives. And the point of the sower sowing the seed, the focus of the story is not on the seed. It's all the same seed that's being sown. The point of the story is, what does the soil look like? Because you need to respond to what I'm saying. And we see the different responses actually taking place in just the first three chapters of Mark's gospel. Because ultimately the goal is to be fruitful. That's what Jesus is after. That's why he's saying to his disciples, it's important that you hear these things. Because he says in verse 12, or he says in verse 11, he told them, so Jesus tells the disciples, he's not with the crowd anymore, he talks to the disciples, he tells them in verse 11, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. Now, the secret to the kingdom of God, some translations use the word mystery. Jesus is not trying to be confusing when he tells a parable. He's not trying to veil the truth in some kind of mysterious kind of way that you got to just kind of figure out how to do it. It's very clear examples. A farmer sowing seed, different kinds of soil. That's pretty easy. The point is not some kind of mysterious information. Jesus says to them, you've received the secret of the kingdom, which is me. I'm doing ministry with you. So Jesus pulls them aside and tells them this, the point to the parable. He's giving them information that the others don't have because of the way they responded to the message of the kingdom. The seed is seemingly being planted in some good soil. And he says that you have been given the secret of the kingdom of God. You are witnessing the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom of God has come in the person of Jesus Christ. And now you're watching and you're walking with me and eating with me and sleeping, and we're sleeping out at the campfire together, and you are being a part of this amazing story, this redemptive story that God is bringing to its climactic point in sending his son. And I want to teach you about this kingdom because you are going to teach other people about this kingdom. And the really important part about this is not the hearing, but it's how you hear. And so he's quoting a reference there in Isaiah, that's verse 12. It says, so that they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding, otherwise they might turn and be forgiven. Now, Isaiah's referencing Israel, who is worshiping these deaf, blind, lifeless, dumb gods. And he is trying to give them the word of God. That's the way that the language was used in the Old Testament. The word of God came to, you name the prophet, and then they speak. The question is, how are they hearing it? You've all entered into this room the same way, people watching at home, listening. You're all hearing the same message. Guess what? First servants heard the same message you're going to hear as well. It's not really the hearing. The point is not, well, that seed was like this. Here's the different variations of seeds. It's all the same seed. The point is, how are you hearing it? What does the soil look like? Now, Jesus is going to go on to explain what that means. And for our purposes this morning, we're going to try, as we go forward, is to take something that was a very first century idea and concept, even though that we're familiar with farming and soil, we're going to try and bring some maybe 21st century understanding of what Jesus was conveying to them. Because they would have picked it up and they would have gotten it right away. That we've got to do a little bit more digging to figure out, well, what does it mean when the seed falls on the soil on the path? Like, when was the last time you just started scattering seed? It's probably been a while. Even when we plant, I don't just scatter. I got a garden at my house. I hoe a row and I plant it in and I cover it up and I do the watering and I do all that. So what does that even mean? What kind of soil is he describing, and how does that relate to my hearing? So every day, the next number of Sundays as we go through this, we've got to think to ourselves, every time I hear the word, it's like I'm soil. What kind of soil am I? And the question is really, how am I hearing this? Because we all know, you could list them, I won't ask you to name any, people who sat in church a long time and you wondered to yourself, has any of it ever made a difference in their life? Has anything they heard actually gotten in there? It's almost like the seed falls and as soon as they walk out the door, oh, this bird just came and snatched it up. And they are absolutely no different. They still treat people the same exact way as they've always treated people, even though we hear Jesus saying, pray for and love your enemies. So that's the question Jesus is after here. And that's what we've got to understand too, as we are called to cast the seed, sow it. And when you share it, it's going to land on different kinds of soil. Don't be surprised when it does. And as people who are entering into a building that we preach the word from Scripture, you are entering with the opportunity to respond in how the soil preparation is going in your life and when you hear the word of God. Is there more going on than, oh yeah, that's a funny joke, Ted. That's real funny. The point is that you laugh. The point of preaching all this stuff is I am praying to God that it's landing on good soil. And that's not just true of you. I was reminded by Brother Shane back there, I didn't think of it right away, to pray for the guy who stabbed him. That's true of all of us. I read this all the time. I prepare messages all the time. Is it penetrating the soil in my own life? So the next number of weeks that we get together, this was like the preparatory message of, it's not the hearing. How are you hearing it? And the soil is going to help us understand how we're supposed to hear it and what happens when the soil is not getting the seed and letting it plant and root and produce. Because discipleship is about fruit production. The expectation is there will be other disciples as a result of you following Jesus, of us as a church constantly saying, you need to follow Jesus. constantly opening our Bible, reading, doing things together as a church body. Jesus is saying some will produce 30, 60, 100 times. The point is not the amount. It's worth it. He's saying it's worth it to cast the seed. Even if some falls on bad soil, some of it just might fall on that good soil. And man, what would that look like if it's producing 30, 60, 100 times of what was planted? That's what we're hoping to do as a church. That's what I'm hoping to have happen in my life, that as a result of the way I live, other people might come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, give their lives to Him, bend their knee to Him, and now tell somebody else about Him. The question is, what's the soil look like? We have got to realize that there is a great big world of people out there just outside our back door. We talked about that last Sunday. Just over at Schuylkill Haven Elementary School, where Annette goes to teach a Good News Club. And the majority of those kids have never heard a story like this. They don't even know who Jesus is. Or Stephen Detweiler, who's going to campuses in Pennsylvania, specifically more Lebanon Berks. Or the missionaries, some that we support in France and Spain and Kenya. What about us? What about outside our back door? Are we talking to the people that need to hear about Jesus? Are we allowing what God has to say to us change us? Not just say, oh yeah, that was nice, but change us and our walk with Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that has the ability to influence, transform, mold, shape, change. God, I pray that it indeed would do that in our lives. Lord, I pray that as we hear your word, as Jesus shares it with his disciples and with the crowds, Lord, I pray that we would be hearing it in such a way that it would change our thought life, our attitude about stuff, Lord. It would change our behavior, maybe the way we speak. It changed the way we treat others. God, it would change what we prioritize as most important in our lives. God, it would help us to actually be engaged and active in this thing we call discipleship. So, Lord, may we recognize this morning how desperately we need you to do that in us. So, Lord, that we could, as we walk out of this place today, be able to sow some of that seed in the lives of those around us. God, we know that we can't do this in our own strength or own power, but through your Holy Spirit, you can give us that ability. I pray, God, that you would do it. Even today, we have opportunity to respond to you. May we do that. In Jesus' name, amen.